This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 691. Does the examiner want you to say apartment or flat?
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show.
Today, you'll find out when differences between British English and American English matter on IELTS, and some fun vocabulary from both versions of the language.
To get fluent and connect in English, you need a way to practice without being judged by others, and to feel free to make mistakes. That's why Monica, an English teacher from Poland, joined our fluency course.
I didn't know what to expect, but when I finally opened the course and I joined the community, I realized that this is what I've been looking for.
You can join this same community that Monica joined and achieve exciting results at allearsenglish.com/plan. Save up to 20% if you join before midnight on May 5th. Offer expires at midnight on May 5th.
Hey, Jessica, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm thinking about, in relation to today's question, about what sort of British English I've heard lately, like movies or TV shows. Have you watched anything from that neck of the woods?
Oh, boy. Lately? Let's see. No, not so much. I heard a lot of Canadian English at the conference this past weekend. There were a lot of people from Canada there, but that's not too different from American English. So not so much on the British side. How about you?
Let's see. I think the last movie I saw that had a lot of British English was The Favourite, which I think I've mentioned. It's an amazing indie film. As far as TV shows, let's see. I've been watching this really cool sci-fi show called The Expanse, and it has like every single accent on there because it takes place in the future, right? Where there's like just this mishmash of a whole bunch of different accents. So if you would like practice listeners identifying and understanding different accents and you like sci-fi, then The Expanse is awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah, it's funny, you know, the vocabulary differences between American and British English. It's so deep. There's so many different vocabulary words, and a lot of them I don't even know, honestly. Like I you'll give me a word, I'll be like, what the heck does that mean?
No, totally. So we had a question from a listener about this, and just to remind you guys, because I know we've talked about this before, but it is worth to mention again, especially if you're a new listener. We know that there are worries sometimes about whether you should be using British English or American English on the exam. And people say, well, it's a British test, right? So will I lose points if I spell color without a U like the Americans, or if I say truck instead of lorry, right, using American English? And so just to remind you guys, there is no problem, okay? IELTS stands for the International English Language Testing System. It's a long name. And that means, guys, it's international English, all right? So you can spell American or British. You can speak using those different vocabulary words, and it is all correct and acceptable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And if you guys want to dig into our archives, we've covered this topic a couple of times in different ways from different angles. So you can come back to IELTS.allearsenglish.com/episodes-281 in the search bar.
Cool.
The episode is, do I need to use British slang on IELTS? So we're talking about slang there. Today we're going into vocabulary. So you guys, just that's the point, right? We need to understand that it's an English test. It's not a British English test. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Some people might tell you that you need to know British English, but you don't.
No, totally. I think students have this idea sometimes that there are such enormous differences between British and American English, and there really are not, you guys. I mean, if you, this only comes into play in listening, really. That's the only time on the test that I could see a student missing an answer because they don't know that British people call trucks lorries. Okay. Right. But guys, really, like, a lot of the differences in vocab come down to slang, and you're not going to hear that on the listening exam. So it really does not come into play for you and your test. All right. But we are going to talk about some differences in the vocabulary between British English and American English today that you might hear on the test, and a couple of them are just fun, but just be aware, guys, first and foremost, that there aren't as many differences as you think. Like, we use pretty much all the same words.
That's so true. It's so true. So let's go into it then. So today we have like five pairs of words,
yeah,
right? And how they're spoken in English, American English and British English. And so let's go into it. What would be the first pair of words?
Yeah, fun. So this is fun to think about. So we've mentioned this already, right? So truck, American English, and lorry is British English, which I really like. Actually, that reminds me of another one that we didn't think of before the show, but I'm going to say now. So in British English, they might say loo instead of bathroom, right? But an American person would never say that. We just say bathroom.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I love
it. It's fun. It's so cute. I'm going to the loo.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And it's also okay. It's fun to throw all of these in there when it comes to your test, right? Throw in a British slang word, throw in an American slang word, you know, mix it up for the examiner.
Yeah.
Keep them interested. You don't, you know, just in the same way that it doesn't matter, you don't need to follow one track, right?
For
in terms
sure.
of which English you're using. So that's great.
You definitely can. That's a really good point, though, that because I think some students would wonder that at this point, like, what if I want to say loo like the British, but truck like the Americans? But that doesn't matter, you guys, because you know what? All of us mix stuff up too. I know when, like, I lived out of the country for a decade, and most of the people that I worked with were British and from Australia. So I picked up a lot of their words, and that became part of my vernacular. So when I did come home, I still mix stuff up. I like to use different words. So yeah, totally fine.
Yeah, but there's one question I have about that, one caveat question. What about when it comes to spelling consistencies on the writing test? So is it okay if we spell one word like O-U-R, let's say color, we say the word color on our writing test, O-U-R, and then we have another word and we spell it in the American way? Do we have to be consistent when it comes to spelling? What do you think?
If you want a 9 for vocabulary, then yes.
Then yes. Okay.
But otherwise, it wouldn't matter.
Okay. Good to know. So good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah, that's great.
You could still get an 8 and like have a couple of those things. That would be fine.
Got it. Perfect. Okay, guys. So yeah, I think a lot of our listeners probably don't need a 9 in writing. So this is going to be one of the last things you want to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. This is not a worry for you guys at all. Okay, so we have truck, lorry. What's another pair?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so this one's really common, right? Apartment and flat. So apartment is what Americans say, and then flat is what British people say.
Yeah. And you know, I hear more Americans saying flat now, I think because I think it sounds kind of pretentious sometimes. I think people just like want to sound cool, so they use like British terms. I don't
know. It's definitely true, yeah. I love it when, like you can hear people coming back. I mean, you've added a few British words and I think it sounds authentic, but I love it when you have like Americans that study in England and then they come back from Australia, for example, with that accent. It's so, it's great. I love it.
I know. Right? Or like saying queue instead of line, right? So that's the other difference, right? Like, so Americans, we wait in a line, but British people, they queue up or wait in the queue. So totally like hearing like a young 20 something who maybe they like went on vacation there or studied there for a semester, they come back and they're like, oh, I need to queue up. I'm like, you don't say that.
This is the best.
So funny. Cool. So another one, you guys might know this, but we have a couple other slang ones that are super interesting. interesting that you will not know, I think. So I think the last sort of most classic and common difference is that Americans say elevator and the British people would say lift, which is also cute.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also really cute. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Why does this sound so much cuter lift than American English?
I think because to us it's exotic. I mean, personally, when it comes to all the world Englishes, as they say, right? I like Australian English. I think that sounds the sexiest and the most exotic. And I'd like to listen to Australian English all day. Not so much British or American, but I think it's always what's different. What's the most different compared to what we do is what we enjoy the most, you know.
I think that speaks to what kind of character you have too. And I think a lot of our listeners will have the same character of curiosity, right? Mm-hmm, because I think some people just refuse to understand accents, right? I know some Americans are like, I don't understand what she's saying if it's like a thick Australian accent. But if you have a more like open, curious nature, like it's more exciting because it's different.
Fun. Yeah. It's really fun. I remember my roommate in our training program in Japan, my first week was from New Zealand. And she was the coolest lady. She was so much fun. She was so cool. And I loved her accent. I just loved just listening to her speak and how she framed things. It was very exotic. So,
oh my gosh. I just thought of a movie in New Zealand, you guys. So you could practice this accent. I love the Kiwi accent. It's so great. Lovely. Guys, there's a movie on Netflix called The Breaker Upperers. That's not correct grammar. It's just supposed to be funny. But it's made by two females. They wrote it. They star in it. And they run an agency where people hire them to break up with people for them.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so funny. It's so funny. So I'll put it in the blog post for this episode. So the title will be there. This is episode 691. But again, the title is The Breaker Upperers.
It's so good. You're always in there with a good resource. I love it.
I love entertainment. Okay, so here's another one, you guys. I probably wouldn't know this unless I like worked with Brits, I think. But so an American, we might say like to kiss someone, right? But there's this cute like British slang to snog, which I don't know. Maybe that does sound kind of rude. I can't decide if it's rude or cute. But snog someone.
I looked it up in the dictionary. I just found it. It says informal British slang. It says to kiss and caress amorously. I like it.
Oh, OK. Yeah, so it's more like making out. But
yeah, kind of like a makeout session. Making out or that's good. That's a good one to know. I didn't know that one. That's great.
That's fun. And one last one, you guys, and this one is really cute. Instead of saying you're exhausted, you can say you're knackered, which is fun.
Knackered, also really good. Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, it would show a lot of range to the examiner if we could mix it up like this intentionally.
Exactly. I think, guys, if you can show that you are an international English person, right, that you don't limit yourself to like one type of English or one target or one culture, I think that speaks to your breadth and your flexibility. So I love this strategy of mixing it up.
Yeah. And the most important thing to hear, I mean, for me, the takeaway today is prioritizing what you want to work on, right? Prioritizing what actually you want to prepare for based on what the examiner prioritizes, right? We know this pretty low on the totem pole of importance, right? So don't stress over it. Just know it, like kind of catalog it in your mind and just understand what matters and then focus on the study plan, focus on, you know, the structures, the templates, that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. This, Lindsay, is correct. Today's episode is super fun, and you guys can definitely use a couple of today's vocab words in your speaking, but let this be like the end of the chapter of you worrying about British versus American English.
Right. Let this be the end. Exactly. Let's put this to bed.
Put it to bed. Close the book. There's some good idioms as well.
I love it. That's so great. That's so great. But I mean, you have to know, right? When it comes to study, especially if you guys are just getting started, it could be overwhelming. You don't know what you have to prioritize, but we are here to help you with that. And we have a cool opportunity. Right, Jessica?
Oh, yes. Okay, listeners, it doesn't matter if you are a 3Key student or not. This opportunity is for everyone who is hearing our voices today. If you are in or around the Boston area, we would love to invite you to have a live mock speaking test with Lindsay and get personal feedback from me on how you can improve your speaking score. Yeah. And this is going to be recorded. And we are going to put it on our YouTube channel. So you get to improve your speaking and be famous.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, what a cool opportunity, right? This doesn't come along every day. You get to meet me in person. That's amazing just in itself.
Totally.
And then to be able to be on YouTube and yeah, you'll be famous, right? We will make you famous and you will be able to help a lot of students when it comes to preparing for the IELTS exam. So it's all upside on this.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we have, I think, like 48,000, 49,000 by now subscribers on our YouTube channel, you guys. And we're so focused on helping as many people as we can with IELTS. And this is an amazing new feature that we want to add to our YouTube channel. So, so you can help us with this by expanding the way that we teach IELTS. So email Lindsay, lindsay@allearsenglish.com, and you guys can set that up.
Exactly. And we'll make it at a time that is easy enough for you. Don't worry. We'll work on, we'll figure out a time together. And so just go to lindsay@allearsenglish.com, email me, and we will schedule your mock speaking test. Okay.
Perfect.
This is great. Okay, Jessica, I'll see you back on the show very soon.
All right. Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
All right. Bye. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.